Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Who?
Seems like a long time since we've been here.
What was your name again?
And you look vaguely familiar. You look a little scruffier than last I saw you. You've let your goatee grow into a beard.
I haven't shaved in weeks.
It appears not.
Welcome.
So is that
aboard.
What you did on your time off? You didn't shave?
Yes, I grew a beard.
Did you bathe by any chance?
Once in a while. Why?
No, I just noticed a fragrance. Only kidding.
That's funny. It's I forget the name of it. It's a really nice fragrance. My lovely bride buys it for me. It's from
Eau de Swamp?
No. It starts with a B. It's from Britain, and it's called Burberry or something
Burberry.
Like that.
Burberry.
Oh, I think it might be the Burberry fragrance. I'm not sure.
All right.
But anyway, all right. Well, welcome aboard, everybody. This is the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. We had some best of programs last week. We got quite a few calls during the best of program, even though I repeated every 15 minutes that it was the best of program. I guess in one of the edits, we let the phone number slip through here. So somebody said, oh, my gosh, they're back to live. and called. So, yeah, but unfortunately, we couldn't handle the call. But we did have some great segments, all of which are at WKOK.com if you want to go back and listen to some of those programs. But we're back live today. We have guests lined up. David Rowe's going to check in and let us know how his Republican candidacy is going for the State House in the 85th District special election. He's checking in. And then John Gordner checks in at 9:06. He'll talk about the state budget. And that, as near as I can tell, doesn't make anybody happy, but has a little bit of everything for everybody in there. And he'll also talk about the governor vetoing his election bill that was fairly comprehensive, so it kills quite a few initiatives that the legislature had hoped would have become law. So we'll be talking about that at 9:06. On the Mark, sponsor by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com. And if you so choose, you can do as no one has done so far, and that's text us at 70236. That's the Text Connect system. If you'd like to sign up, you can go to wkok.com, click on the Connect with Us logo, and that's where our Twitter and Facebook and Text Connect opportunities are located. And what we do is we sign you up there, and we'll send you breaking news information about closed roads, tornadic weather, dead celebrities, or breaking national or local news. I think we text-connected the women winning soccer. I'm not sure. But we have had some text-connects lately. Not weather watches, but weather warnings are what we would send out via text-connect. So that's the kind of thing that you can get from the text-connect system. 70236 if you're already signed up. We do have a section of Forest Hill Road and Route 45 blocked right now in Mifflinburg because of a fire. Mifflinburg, New Berlin, Lewisburg, Union County, West End, and Penns Creek Fire Companies are all at the scene. They're listing that road as closed there, so be aware of that. All right, how are your days off, sir?
Oh, very good. Very good, very good.
Did you make any day trips anywhere fabulous?
No, I got the time. I spent the time with my grandsons, Logan and Jordan.
Oh, well, that's fun. You got to
had a good time with them.
Every day is a blessed time when that happens.
Yep, sure is.
All right, did you read this email that we received?
I did. It's typical of EB's emails.
This came a week ago, but it's
and
still
actually,
very
he's
time.
Actually hit a kind of a new low in nastiness here.
Oh, yeah,
going
after
the president's daughter, yeah. He says, a viral video shows Ivanka Trump awkwardly trying to insert herself into a conversation among world leaders at the G20 summit. In other words, an idiot trying to pretend she deserves to be taken seriously by prime ministers or presidents of other countries. Trumpies are so concerned with America appearing strong and powerful, so what's the rationale for allowing Ivanka, a handbag designer who has never accomplished anything without daddy, to attend the G20? She's not a trained diplomat, and she's certainly not intelligent enough to go toe-to-toe with world leaders. Her presence and efforts to appear important are an embarrassment to America. Then again, like father, like daughter, I guess. So, E.B., how would you do in that? Huh? You make a judgment about other people. Would you stand up to world leaders, be able to talk to them?
If invited, would you go?
I didn't see this tape, so I don't know, or this video. Did you?
Yeah, I did not either.
I don't know, but...
It wasn't that viral.
In hearing her speak on other occasions, she doesn't seem like an idiot to me.
Well, no, and she's been given certain jobs, and it's an opportunity to go, and you sort of represent the administration, not in high-level, sophisticated treaty negotiations that require decades of background. It's a meet-and-greet. So, I think...
But she wasn't there as a chief negotiator for the United States of America.
Okay.
You know,
right?
But she was there as one of her father's advisors.
But really, to this administration, where of course the humble leader of it is a train wreck, to pick that out as being like the most egregious thing that's happened in the past 2 weeks is kind of silly.
Well, you know, we do have. It's funny because I got a big kick out of this. All of my liberal friends were saying, "Oh, what an idiot! Trump is saying that during the Revolutionary War, our troops took over the airports." He made a mistake.
Oh, in that speech, right? It was a
typo. He made a mistake.
And yet,
when I brought up the fact that Bernie Sanders didn't know the difference between profit and revenue, thought, well, you know, it's just a small mistake.
Those are nuanced differences in finance. What's the difference?
Let's face it. Smart people make dumb mistakes from time to time and say things that they really wouldn't want to say. And now Joe Biden's on his apology tour.
Was the president ad-libbing at that point?
He said the teleprompter went out.
Okay.
And that he had memorized the speech, but that it threw him for a second, and... Okay. I can understand that happening.
All right. We have open phones. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We promised that we would check in with one of the candidates in the 85th District State House and make sure that he got an equal opportunity to talk about the important issues in the campaign and running for Harrisburg. So, David Rowe, it's your opportunity right now. Businessman from Lewisburg and former East Buffalo Township Supervisor. Good morning, sir. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, good morning, Mark. Good morning, Joe. Thank you so much for having me back.
How is the campaign going, explaining what you're doing to prepare for the special election August 20th?
It's going extraordinarily well, Mark. I'm spending a lot of time getting to know a lot of people, spending a lot of time being where the people are, going door to door, spending some time on the phone, just getting to meet a lot of people across the district, really getting to broaden that network, and it's been an opportunity I'm honored to have.
Well, tell me about the big issues you're prepared for in Harrisburg. We saw the minimum wage issue pop up. We just saw election issues pop up and get vetoed by the governor. What are the big issues that you're following and you're making sure that you're ready to address in Harrisburg if elected?
Yeah, I'll just address the minimum wage. You brought it up first. We all want to see workers making family-sustaining wages and incomes rising. The question is, how do we do it? And I think increasing the minimum wage has been proven to be the wrong way to go and does result in a lower average income. What we need is pro-growth policies, lower taxes, and less regulation. And what the Democrats fail to recognize is that the challenges facing taxpayers and small businesses by advocating for a $15 minimum wage, you know, as a small business owner, I do speak from a position of experience when discussing increasing the minimum wage. If I'm forced to double the wage I'm paying my staff, one of three things are guaranteed to happen. I will be forced to lay off staff, or I'll have to raise rates on my customers, or I'll just have to close my doors. And the University of Washington did research on Seattle's $15 minimum wage hike, and that actually showed an average loss of $125 per month for the average low-wage worker. You know, the other downfall to increasing the minimum wage is that we're going to lose a large population of the teenage workforce. You know, my first job as a teenager was working for a produce stand making $5 an hour. If we increase the minimum wage to what the governor wants, a $15 minimum wage, we're going to make a whole segment of the population unemployable by pricing them out of these jobs. The Tax Cuts and Jobs Act that President Trump signed into law allowed a lot of businesses to raise their starting wages for workers, and tax reform is the proven way to achieve higher wages. You know, Governor Wolf here in the Commonwealth needs to follow President Trump's footsteps, sign tax reform into law, and join Republicans in supporting policies that foster lasting economic growth and allow businesses and entrepreneurs to create more family-sustaining jobs.
Well, that's not likely to happen. I think you'd agree with me on that, wouldn't you?
I think it would be a tough fight, but I think that enough people need to realize that Republicans are ready and willing to pursue tax reform. The governor just needs to get on board.
Well, your opponent is talking about how she wants to represent everybody in the district, all the people. You know, I suspect you want to do the same thing, but you characterize it perhaps differently. Outline for us the differences between your philosophy and what you believe your opponent's philosophy is.
Oh, boy, that's a big question. Well, I'm...
Well, well, answer part of it then, Dave. I don't care.
You only have 2 days to begin.
Well, I'll start off the, you know, I think one of the very big things that differentiates us is that I acknowledge that the path to prosperity for Pennsylvania comes with, you know, limited government and less spending and lower taxes. I think my opponent would advocate for larger government and higher taxes, and I can speak firsthand that that does not work. Pennsylvania is poised to excel. If it's, you know, the natural gas industry is booming. We are estimated to have thousands of new jobs every year due to that industry. And we need to create a environment where businesses can thrive here in Pennsylvania. Unfortunately, that hasn't been the case. So rather than pursuing higher tax policies and more regulation as my opponent would, I would pursue policies that would provide more sustaining jobs by allowing businesses and industries to thrive and prosper.
How will you show that you're going to make a difference in Harrisburg? Your predecessor would read the bills and talk about, sort of the poison pill that was always buried in them, would occasionally vote no against the Republicans. He was the only person around here who would do that. Very independent. Will you be that kind of legislator?
Absolutely. I think that Fred Keller did an amazing job of being a man of the people, of being principled in his policies and politics. I have had many people mention to me that I have large shoes to fill in following in his stead, and I am cognizant of that. I've spent quite a bit of time reading over some of the bills, some of the issues that are being faced currently, trying to find some issues that I can educate myself on better. I think one of the big things that are going to be coming up sooner rather than later, I think we're going to be having to address our unsustainable spending. You know, when we look at the 2019 and 2020 budget, it's you know, the lawmakers tried to tout it as a very modest increase in spending, but when you sift through all the spin, it becomes obvious that Pennsylvania's spending problem does continue in the new budget. You know, when you factor in last year's overspending, this new budget includes a whole bunch of cost shifting to make the general fund look low. They factored in previous year's overspending. And when you account for all these manipulations, the bill actually represents a 4.7% increase over what was enacted last year. I really do think that status quo is unsustainable. This overspending, borrowing, and postponing will catch up to us. And the real choice facing lawmakers in Harrisburg isn't if they will need to act, but when. You know, we need to enact spending protocols, something along the lines of the Taxpayer Protection Act, and other things that will limit spending so we don't end up in a place that we can't come back from.
Well, I don't mean to put you on the spot, Dave, but I know one of the things that Fred was famous for was not taking all of the benefits the office offered. Where do you stand on things like pensions for state employees or for the state House members, per diem expenses, and all those other things that Fred rejected?
Well, the pension is something that I definitely feel strongly about. You know, pension reform is something that needs to be addressed sooner rather than later. I have already committed to declining the taxpayer-funded pension for Pennsylvania lawmakers. I think that it's important to lead by example, and when we go to tax reform issues, I think we need to lead by example. I'm sorry, pension reform issues, I think we as lawmakers need to lead by example. In East Buffalo Township, we shifted away from a pension system to great financial success. It allowed us to project better our financials over the long term, and I would hold myself to the same standard we had our employees hold to, in that I would also decline that pension.
What about pay raises? After the salary was initially set when he took office, he declined further pay raises.
You know, the the role of a legislator in government was not supposed to be a career job back in the days of our founding fathers. It was intended to be a sacrifice, an act of service to serve in the legislature. And I do think that that is what it should still be. I'm not going into this with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's perspective of needing a pay raise within the first couple of months of the job. That is not at all my perspective. My perspective is that this is an opportunity to serve the people of the Commonwealth, to support policies that would limit spending, cut taxes, and provide more jobs to the people of this area who need them.
Would you decline further pay raises once you're initially installed?
I couldn't speak to that necessarily, just because if I'm in there 25, 35, 45 years, who knows what the future holds.
Are you planning on that lengthy of a career? Because my next question was going to be, Fred always spoke about self-imposed term limits, that he probably would have been in his last term if he won this next election. So are you planning on being there 25, 35 years?
I believe that we do have an option for term limits already in place, and I think those opportunities to call elections. And I think that we should leave the rights of deciding who represents us up to the voters, and I would be happy to serve the voters as long as they would have me.
So no term limit kind of thing. Some individuals say sort of 8 years and out or 12 years and out. You have no interest in observing any sort of a term limit as you go in.
As I said, I think the only term limit we should be applying is the term limit that the voters have. The voters do have ultimate say over who represents them in the halls of the legislature. And I think we need to leave the power with them. Once you start taking power away from the voter, even if it initially appears like it's for a good reason, I think that's a very dangerous road. I think the voters should have complete power to decide who represents them at all times.
Right. They would have the ultimate say, but some of these are self-imposed. I know, like, Tom Marino said he was going to do 12 and out, and
Fred did, too.
Yeah, Fred, 12. Is that what it was? 12, right. So, but you're not saying anything like that, at least not at this point. It's still pretty early.
Yeah, not at this point. I intend to serve if the people will have me, and I don't plan on term limiting myself for that fact.
All right, fabulous. Okay. One of our listeners always sends in the same three questions. Gun control, abortion, and the death penalty. What's your view on
and
those?
He's got 15 seconds.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay, yeah. Briskly, if you don't mind. Gun
sure,
control.
Absolutely. Well, I'll try to answer a couple of those with one sense, and I believe that life is sacred from conception until natural death, and I think that when we look at the abortion issue, we cannot take morality and ethics out of the conversation because it is a moral and it is an ethical issue. An abortion ends a life, and we need to protect life at all costs.
All right. All right. Well, we'll have to stop it on that. We'll catch the rest of those topics at a later date. Thank you so much for checking in, Dave. Very much appreciated.
Yes, thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Joe. Have a good one.
You too. Take care.
At this point, Mr. Rowe, David Rowe, GOP candidate in the 85th District, has agreed to come back on the Mark show at some point in the months ahead, has not agreed to come on in August then with Dr. Jennifer Rager Kay. So that isn't something he's agreed to yet. Both he and Dr. Kay are going to be at a function sponsored by the League of Women Voters of the Lewisburg area and the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce within the next month or so. So we'll be talking more about that as it nears. You're listening to On the Mark. We're back to open phones. We'd love to hear from you. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back. WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the mark. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number.
I told you how to get rid of it. You won't listen to me.
That would get rid of the whole window.
No, it wouldn't.
It would, too. And double did.
Oh, there you go. See? Didn't get rid of it.
It did, too. All right. 1-800-795-9565. We got open phones. You were saying Joe Biden's apologizing.
Yes, he's now apologizing for apparently some comment he made. Where he defended, I guess, his working in the past with some United States senators who were considered racist, or at least opposed to racial issues or racial equality in the past.
Right.
So he's been apologizing for that. I saw this morning Reverend Sharpton had a comment that he had been asking for him to apologize for the last 2 weeks, and he finally did it. But it seems to me that the vice president, the former vice president, is spending a lot of time apologizing for things he did in the past.
You can stick a fork in him. He's done. Even though in the race, in the latest poll,
he's still ahead.
Right. He's still the only individual that can beat the president so far.
Well, that's what Democrats think.
Right. But we have a long way to go. And I just don't think he's that strong of a candidate. And I think the president is a strong candidate. Plus, he's been campaigning, you know, sort of fully against any Democrat or anybody who opposes him for the past 2 years. So I don't think it's going to make that much of a difference. I don't know why Joe Biden suddenly popped up as the leader. He's certainly not the best candidate among the Democrats. He's not the most presidential. I think Kamala Harris has come on lately as a favorite, along with Amy Klobuchar. Seems to be her name's popping up a lot in the conversations.
She's down in the low single digits.
Oh, is she on that poll? Okay, so she's not.
I think her
face is showing up in a lot of conversations. So,
well, it is. I agree with you. It's way too early to start picking anybody out of the pack and saying they're going to survive. But I mean, at some point here, the herd ought to thin out a bit. Mm-hmm. Some of these people just have no chance at all. And, of course, Joe Sestak jumping into the race. All he needs is clown shoes and a rubber nose, and he's going to fit in perfectly.
Well, and he sent out an email over the weekend saying he's shaking 25,000 hands in Iowa and is making a...
That's 25,000 people saying, who in the heck was that?
Yeah. Admiral Sestak. Well, that's his nature, you know, to go to states where they're voting or go to areas where they're voting when he was running for state senate or U.S. Senate.
No, he's a nice guy. We talked to him here. He seems like a very nice man, seems very intelligent. But, you know, just to announce out of the blue he's running for president of the United States after he's failed to win, it's what I call the Beto O'Rourke syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you lose a race and figure, oh, well, that gives me name recognition. Now I'll go on to something bigger.
All right. And Sestak did he run for governor one time?
He ran for Senate. Yeah, and but, he ran against Toomey, did he not?
He ran two times for Senate. Okay, right. So yeah, that could be. All right, so, Joe Sestak's out there sending out emails. We do have time for an ultra-speedy dialer right now, 1-800-795-9565. Joe and I are just doing a quick recap of some of the things that popped up while we were enjoying Best Of programs last week. Every time something would pop up in the news, I kept thinking, oh, man, it's too bad we're not doing the talk show. This would be a good
topic. I spent a whole week without having to look for articles to discuss.
Yeah, what'd you do with all that free time?
Played solitaire on the computer.
Candy Crush, I guess.
No, I don't like games like that. But seriously, I think Biden's boxing himself in here. He's got a record, and I thought he made an excellent comment. He said when they talked to him about civil rights, he said that he was thoroughly vetted by President Obama, you know, and that he had all these people who President Obama could have picked to be his vice presidential candidate. And he was certain that the president had looked at his, racial history and everything else and decided that he was the candidate he wanted to run with. And so he said, I will accept President Obama's opinion about my character with regards to race before I accept anybody else's.
Ooh, that's a good remark because President Obama is still the gold standard for good behaving Democrats. If you want a bad-behaving Democrat, you can go with Bill Clinton, but...
Well, Joe Biden has a certain creepiness factor that has entered into this discussion.
Well, there is that, yeah, and that's true. The more he talks about issues, whether it's apologies or, you know, forward-thinking topics, the less anybody talks about those kinds of things.
Well, I think his other candidates on the Democratic side are pushing him into a corner. You know, he's not quite as liberal. And I think that's probably one of the reasons why Nancy Pelosi came out over the weekend and took on the AOC crowd, the four really liberal representatives, for their refusal to vote for the border funding issue that came up last week, which we didn't get to discuss cost-wise or anything else.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that that's part of the problem here, you know, that he's being pushed to the left. And I think Nancy Pelosi's trying to give him some cover.
All right, trying to make it so that, and plus she's been covering for him since day one. All right, well, we are very close to the top of the hour. I want to tell you about our sponsor, which is the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915. They got the 4th Street location and Routes 11 to 15 Hummel's Wharf. Find out tons more about them at sunburymotors.com. Do as I do. Go to the Quick Lane. Every couple months I'm there with either my personal vehicle or my lovely bride's vehicle, or we can take the XUV, which belongs to 94KX, or the Eagle 107 Edge down there, and make sure that that's in perfect condition, or the WKOK vehicle. So that's why we go there so often. But once you visit there, you don't have to come back, because they'll take good care of you and pump you up with nitrogen. They take care of the inspection, wash the vehicle, do the body work. In case I'm a bad driver, you go in there, inspect it. They do the body work for my most recent opportunity to drive it, and then you're on your way and you are off. If you'd like to make an appointment with a Quick Lane, you can do so at sunburymotors.com. Or call them telephonically, or you can just show up anytime, 24/7, drop off your vehicle, and then they'll let you know what's got to happen to get you squared away at the Sunbury Motor Company Quick Lane. SunburyMotors.com, the website you need to know to be well taken care of by the Sunbury Motor Company. You're listening to News Radio 1070, WKOK Sunbury, WKOK News Time. It is now coming up on 9 a.m. We're going to have CBS News. We'll do some brief headlines. State Senator John Gordner is going to check in, and then we'll resume open phones.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show, On the Mark. I am Mark Lawrence, subpar host of the show, superlative co-host. Joe McGranahan is here, our show sponsor of the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is open, or will be as soon as our interview is concluded with State Senator John Gordner. When the time comes, it'll be 1-800-795-9565. You're welcome to email us at onthemark@wkok.com, and you can text us at 70236. Senator Gordner, thank you so much for checking in. Glad to talk to you this morning.
Good morning, guys. Good
morning.
I do appreciate that. Well, let's talk about the state budget first of all, then we'll get to this big election bill that got vetoed. The state budget, everybody didn't get in everything they wanted. Some people got a little bit, but is anybody happy with the budget? Your reaction to the state budget that was signed?
Well, I hope so. First of all, we're in the best financial shape we've been in since the 2007-2008 downturn. So that's good news for residents and taxpayers. We finished with a surplus, and actually we're able to put some money in the rainy day fund, a little over $300 million. Involving the surrounding states around us, we're in the worst shape in regard to the rainy day fund, so it's good to put some funds in there. We increased funding for schools, so that is now at the highest amount of state funding in our Commonwealth's history. We kept spending to just below 2%. We increased money for libraries, for domestic violence shelters, so I would think that there are a number of folks that are happy with this year's budget.
Why not put funding in there for the election machines? Why did that pop up as a separate bill?
Well, I think everyone was very frustrated with the governor in regard to the budget and voting machines. He has this mandate that he announced February of 2018, right after that year's budget. The cost may be around $150 million once you consider all 67 counties. They certainly were expecting when the governor announced his budget this year that he was going to provide about $75 million in funding, And instead, when he unveiled his budget, he proposed $15 million, which is barely 10%. So what we ended up doing in my bill far exceeded what little the governor suggested back in February.
Why do you suppose, and part of your bill was also to end straight party line voting, was it not?
Yeah, we put a number of election reforms in the bill besides what the base bill was, which was this commission. But look, we're one of, I think, seven states left that still allows straight party voting. It's something that a number of other states have eliminated recently so that people look at each and every office, and also allows minor parties and independent folks to have a chance. And that's absolutely the reason why he vetoed it. Eric Holder and other folks that are prominent with national Democratic politics lit up the lines saying that that would hurt the Democrats in 2020.
But they're always talking about Republicans are trying to limit the vote. Aren't they doing that in this case?
Yeah, I don't get it at all. And look, these are other people's words, not mine. But if you read the Philly Inquirer and other folks, they said it would be harmful to minority and low-income voters. I don't get it.
How could you possibly say it would be harmful to them?
They're not allowed to go to the bottom of the ballot to look at people.
They're saying their attention span is so poor they wouldn't be able to figure out, read the whole ballot? I mean, that sounds racist almost.
It sounds ludicrous. Their words, not mine. I don't understand it, but there's no doubt that is the reason why he voted against it. It was actually a Democratic senator by the name of Lisa Boscola, who I have a lot of respect for, that actually introduced the bill. It came, that specific bill that only dealt with the straight party voting, came out of committee with a unanimous vote, but by the time it got to the Senate floor, the National Democrats were wholeheartedly opposed to it.
But it did pass.
It did pass the Senate, yes.
So are you going to bring it back without the funding for the voting machines, or are you going to bring the voting machine funding back without the other, voting changes?
We'll have to see what happens. We now don't go back into session until September. Look, we still only have about half the counties that have made decisions in regard to voting machines. None of my four counties locally have made any final decisions. And this is just, it's malarkey, if that's a word. The governor said back in February of 2018 that every single voting machine in the state would need to be replaced because of security concerns. That was February of 2018. He still has not issued an order decertifying those machines. So throughout the state, the May 2018 elections, the November 2018 elections, the May 2019 elections have been held with those same machines that he said needed to be replaced because of security concerns.
So doesn't that kind of make him a bit hypocritical?
I think so. I had newly elected Democratic senators just furious at me, just glare at me, because I would mention during committee meetings that, look, the same machines that elected you newly elected members are the same ones that he says we have to eliminate because of security concerns. So did we have a legitimate elections last November or didn't we? I think we did. I'm not aware of any local problems with our machines locally. So I don't understand this.
What was in that bill that related to election security? He said that part of his statement is the bill weakens the ability of the Commonwealth and counties to quickly respond to security needs of voting systems.
What does that mean?
Yeah, what's the poison pill that was in there?
Well, the main bill, which is my main bill, would have set up a commission. Anytime a governor, any governor, Republican, Democrat, wanted to eliminate 50% or more of the machines in the state, there would have to be a six-month process, which would be made up of a bipartisan commission, frankly, of which the Democrat or the governor would control, to look at the issue and issue a report. So all I did was put together a six-month commission. Let me again give you the dates. He said back in February of 2018 that these machines needed to be replaced. 500 days have gone by since he made that announcement, and he still has not issued his executive order to decertify those machines. I was looking for a 180-day period for a commission to look into it. What he says is unfair.
Is he looking for the funding? You think he's hoping to come up with some way to fund it before he issues the final order, or do you think he's just procrastinating for the sake of procrastination?
Look, there are many counties, including our local ones, that have yet to pull the trigger. I've got three counties that use paper ballots and are not connected to the Internet, which is what he said these new machines should do. They should use paper ballots. They shouldn't be connected to the Internet. I've got three counties, including Snyder, Columbia, and Montour, that already have that. So they're wondering why they need to spend millions for new machines.
Yeah.
Are there anything else about the election bill? It had so much in it. It's a shame we couldn't send him each element separately and let him veto that portion. That way maybe some other portion could go through. Anything else about the election bill that we should say?
Yeah, I just think it's a shame, and I just think it's wrong for the counties that are going to be left holding the bag or are just going to defy the governor and say, look, we're not going to buy the machines until we get clear reasons why and get funding for it.
Is there going to be another funding bill that will pop up when the legislature is back in session?
We'll have to see.
All right. Minimum wage, that almost made it into the budget, didn't. You've always spoken out against that, and House or Senate Republicans still are. And anything new to say about that discussion?
Yeah, I'm going to disagree with you on a couple of fronts there. It didn't. Minimum wage bills have nothing to do with the budget. When we've passed minimum wage bills in the past, passed one in 2006, it was not connected to the budget. It wasn't a part of the budget. It's a separate bill. It can be passed at any time. It wasn't close to being connected or approved in June. As hopefully you realize, Senate Majority Leader Jake Corman said back in February that it certainly would be a discussion point. The governor waited till the middle of June to start discussing the issue. He never discussed it. His chief of staff never discussed it with our majority leader for months. It just was not able to be finalized. But look, I would support a reasonable increase, but we always have to be aware of who it affects and who it doesn't affect. And, we want to make sure that there are jobs available for college students and high school students and that those jobs don't go away because they're priced out.
You brought up Jake Corman's name, and there's a video circulating among my liberal friends showing him practically frothing at the mouth and yelling at Lieutenant Governor Fetterman over a woman trying to read, a state senator trying to read a letter with respect to removing the, $200 supplemental welfare?
Just general assistance.
General assistance program. You know, do you think Senator Corman was out of line there, or was Fetterman out of line? And getting back to the Senate in the September, what kind of a relationship are you all going to have with one another?
Well, from presiding officer standpoint, certainly it was the darkest day that I've had in the Senate in the 15-plus years that I've been there. There's never been a presiding officer who has refused to acknowledge the directions of the parliamentarian. At the beginning of each session, we elect a parliamentarian. We do it unanimously. Megan Martin is our parliamentarian, and the lieutenant governor shushed her, put his hand up, when she was trying to tell him what to do. I think it's offensive. I don't know if it was because she's a woman parliamentarian that he was taking those actions, but it should be offensive to everyone. But the rules are very clear. When a motion to call the question is called, it's undebatable. The governor, lieutenant governor, walked off the rostrum, when Joe Scarnati walked up and started the calling of the question. The Democrats walked off the floor. When they came back, Jake got the attention of Lieutenant Governor, but he turned his head and called on the Senator Muth, which is specifically against the rules of the Senate.
He was rebuked.
And the video shows Jake trying to get the president to acknowledge him and to follow the rules. And instead, the lieutenant governor, as he admitted, specifically did not. It's interesting. He did tweet out something saying that he broke the rules. You can't have that as a presiding officer.
He was rebuked for that. What about stripping him of the ability to preside over the Senate? Is that feasible?
In the letter that we sent, and all 26 Republican or all 28 Republican senators signed on to the letter, we certainly indicated that, look, in the future, we've got rules that we have to abide by. They're adopted by every senator at the beginning of the session. And if he is not going to follow the rules, then we'll have to put someone up there that is going to follow the rules.
What about the lady who was reading it, Senator Moser said? Why didn't she stop and say, listen, you're breaking the rules here of the Senate. I should relinquish my time.
I think he did. She got shushed.
No.
It was very clear that whole situation was orchestrated. If you look at the video, there were people standing right behind her. So it was an orchestrated situation that the lieutenant governor was a party to, and that's a shame, because the presiding officer is not supposed to be a partisan political person. They're supposed to be fair to both sides, and that's not what happened in this orchestrated situation. The other thing that bothers me is the media reports in regard to this cash assistance program. The fake news part that I've never fully bought into, I'm now bought into in regard to this particular issue. Every single Associated Press article referred to it as a decades-old program, and I have every article that refers to it as a decades-old program. We eliminated this program in 2011 after a Democratic Auditor General, Jack Wagner, issued a report saying that it was fraught with abuse. So it was eliminated in 2011. It was reinstated last fall by the governor without our approval after the budget was adopted because of a technicality in a court case. But it was eliminated again, and the Governor Wolf signed the legislation to eliminate it a second time.
And that didn't get reported?
Little known facts, as they say.
If you read every AP story, it talks about it being a decades-old program, and I'm quoting the decades-old program.
Yeah,
right,
I've seen
that.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember that, yeah. Did Penn Live report it in that manner, as you recall?
I had my local newspaper, the Press Enterprise, republished a Daily Record editorial, which it referred to as us eliminating a decades-old program. We eliminated that in 2011. Again, okay. It was after Jack Wagner issued this scathing audit showing that the monies could be used for cigarettes, alcohol, drugs, all sorts of other things, because there was no accountability in the program. And that's why the Auditor General Jack Wagner said the program should be eliminated. We eliminated it. It didn't exist for 7.5 years until the governor reinstated. And it, again, despite all the dramatics, including by the lieutenant governor, Governor Wolf signed that bill just last week.
All right. Anything else to add about the budget or other topics or anything else important that's top of the mind to you? Any additional remark?
No, just despite all that drama, which is a shame, this budget and the budget process, all the related bills were done in concert with the governor's office and the House Democrats and the Senate Democrats. So we actually were all getting along pretty well, other than that particular drama. So unlike Washington, which has a lot more drama, we were getting along pretty well and passing things that made sense for Pennsylvania.
All right. Thank you so much. Keep in touch.
Thank you,
Senator. And visit us anytime. And you're welcome to check in anytime and keep us informed about these topics. Thank you, Senator Gordner.
Take care, John.
Thanks, guys, for having me on. Mm-hmm.
State Senator John Gordner, 27th District, lives in Berwick, and the Senate Majority Whip in Harrisburg, making sure that everybody is, that their intentions and interests are known, brought up, talked about, and kept in order as much as possible. We're going to take a quick break here on the Mark. We flip back to open phones. We'd love to hear from you. 1-800-795-9565, the telephone number. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. 9:27 in the morning. We flip to open phones. We can talk about anything you wish. We had State House candidate David Rowe on the news line in the first part of our program, talking about issues if elected and some of the top issues in the state. Then State Senator John Gordner, just to finish up earlier, prior to then, we had talked about President Trump, his bad behavior lately, and the Democratic candidates, and just a few sentences about the latest polls. So we have open phones. Call us now, 1-800-795-9565. With both of those guests, we talked about the minimum wage, and we do have a text about that, so we'll read that shortly. We have some very, very, very brief news headlines. Just take a moment, Eric, if you want to stand by. Multiple fire crews on the scene of a house fire in Mifflinburg right now, and at least one road shut down as a result. Union County Fire Wire says the blaze reported around 8 a.m. in the 100 block of Chestnut Street. That's Route 45. We know a section of Forest Hill Road, the nearby road, was blocked. 45 may also be detoured. A second alarm was called in during that fire. No other reports from the scene. Five people, including two juveniles, were rescued after being trapped on a small island along Penn's Creek late Sunday afternoon. Central Susquehanna Regional 911 says the incident first reported around 6:30 p.m. No information on why they were in Penn's Creek or unable to return to the banks. 911 Center says the three adults and two juveniles were found and were returned safely to shore. So those are some of the news headlines. We have lots more news of every stripe posted at WKOK.com. Eric, thank you so much for calling in. Our first open phone caller of this month. You're on the mark.
Good morning, gentlemen, and welcome back. It's good to hear you guys live again.
Thank you.
I was also away last week on a mission trip with my church. When I came back, I had in my mail not one but two letters from Senator Gordner. Before I left, and as they were struggling with the budget, I had emailed him about two concerns I had. One, that legalization of marijuana, and second, Sunday hunting. And I expressed my concerns and wanted to know what he was planning on doing, and as a constituent said, I was opposed to those and wanted to hear what his response was. And he sent me a letter based upon his take on both issues, and I just appreciate the fact that he is very responsive. And I've emailed his office before, and I've always received a response back. So unlike some politicians, I found Senator Gordner's office, and I know that he probably doesn't write the letters, but he certainly reviews them, and he does sign them. He is opposed to both legalization of marijuana and opposed to Sunday hunting. But the fact that he actually responded back, and responded back with a letter, not just an email, means a lot to me as a constituent. And I found that to be, even though I'm a confirmed Democrat, I think Senator Gordner is acting on behalf of his constituents here in Central PA. And I don't always agree with his point of view, but the fact that he's accessible and also willing to come onto your program and share his viewpoints.
Well, he's willing to check in for about 15 minutes.
So a thumbs up for Mr. Gordner, and I'll take that stand first.
Well, he's not willing to come on the show in person. He's just willing to call in every 6 months or so.
Okay, well, at least he's willing to call in. Now, as far as candidate Rowe, my concern is, what's he afraid of coming on with the Democratic candidate, Dr. K, and just take questions and have some kind of forum.
What's he got to win?
Yeah, what if it helps her?
He's got a huge vote registration lead.
If, as a constituent, I can hear some of his opinions and hear discussion. Isn't that what we are supposed to be doing as media,
but as
enlightening people to people's positions?
But Eric,
I found it very interesting that he, in his position today, cited that in the past we've had part-time and limited-time representatives, and then turned around and said he's not sure he might not be over 25 or 30 years. So he's conflicting himself. I don't think he knows himself what he wants to do.
But you're saying, Eric, that you're a confirmed Democrat. What are you likely to hear from him that would change your mind about voting for his opponent?
I'd like just to have the opportunity for him to discuss in open forum with the other candidate and hear his ideas.
But do you think it would change your mind?
I don't know. I feel I'm an open mind person. The whole Republican line on a lot of things I don't agree with. But if he would be willing to break with the Republicans, as sometimes, very few times, but a few times that Representative Keller did, then I'd be interested to hear that. Right now, all I'm hearing is, "Hey, I'm a Republican. I'm from this area. Vote for me because I'm a Republican."
Well, he did say
I don't believe in that.
He did say he would be an independent voice and that he would very much emulate Representative Keller in that regard to sometimes voting against his own party.
But didn't you get the impression also, Joe, that he contradicted himself with what he said about the pay increase when he really crawfished on that issue, and then said about being a limited term person, and then said he might be there for 25 or 30 years?
Yeah, he's got
it's unusual to hear any candidate say that in this day and age, that I'm going to be there for 25 years. Most of them do say I believe in some form of term limit. So it was certainly different to hear that candidate express the fact that he'd be willing to stay as long as the voters would reelect him.
Yeah, and also interesting to think, holy smokes, you know, David Rose, for all intent and purposes, is the leading candidate to be the State House member for the next 25 years. You know, what a legacy. So, boy, get your questions answered now.
Well, he's young enough that he could make it.
Right. So, if you don't mind, let's go back to Senator Gordner briefly. What did he say about Sunday hunting?
He was one of the 15 senators who voted against it.
Okay.
Even though it is for a limited 3 Sundays only, he realizes, like I realize, once you break that, then it's just one small step to saying, okay, we did it for 3 Sundays, people seem to like it, let's go ahead and allow it.
Right.
I can tell you down here in Port Treverton that the farmers down here who allow their land to be hunted upon, and especially our Amish neighbors, will post them all off because they do not believe in Sunday hunting. And they do not want to be disturbed. They want to be able to go out and walk their land and do whatever without people, you know, having gunshots going off at them.
But it's only three days out of the season.
Well, yeah, that's
right now. But
that's
just like the whole marijuana issue.
They nibble away at it.
Broached breach that. Isn't it so easy then to say, okay, the 3 worked. Now we'll just take the little step and say, we'll have it open during all the season.
How about 2
because
Sundays?
Really, what are we worried about, gentlemen? How many Sundays are truly open for deer season? We're only talking about a more, and then you'll have it, and then it'll be open, and we'll never get it back.
Well, what was his opinion on marijuana? Since you asked him about that,
was strongly opposed to marijuana, legalizing marijuana.
Okay, and you like that position, am I right?
I am very much opposed to marijuana. Right. I think what we have now as our medical marijuana is a joke because no doctor federally banned from writing prescriptions. So I'm not sure what these people show up with to these dispensaries, of which, surprise, we have 2 dispensaries in Shamokin where we have one of the largest problems with illegal drugs, and we have 2 legal dispensaries in Shamokin to dispense legal marijuana. And now they can smoke it. I mean, it's sort of out as pill form or as topical applications. And all of a sudden, no, you can buy pot to smoke it if you have any kind of issue. And it's a farce.
I don't think you can sell it to smoke in Pennsylvania for medical purposes.
It's much different than you describe it. But that's your truth, so I'm not going to try to pull you off of that. All right, thank you so much, Eric. Really appreciate the call. Thanks for being a great listener.
As always, I appreciate the opportunity to speak. Thank you.
Well, anytime. That's what we're in business for. Cindy, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Cindy, you're on the mark.
Good morning, gentlemen. You know, I'm really very frustrated that the governor vetoed that bill. I'm just astounded that he vetoed the bill to fund this whole thing with the changing the voting machines. First, I think it's ridiculous to force those of us who already have voting machines that meet the standard to buy new ones. That's absurd. This is just like the signs about radar enforcement. You know, the government just has this urgent need to waste our money. It just, I'm wondering, who is he related to that sells voting machines, frankly, to hear this kind of decision-making going on? That's what I'm wondering.
Well, and there was so much in it. It's rather than just send him a bill for the $90 million for the voting machines, send him a bill for whatever this commission thing that the Senator Gordner was talking about that would help ensure that you can't sort of whimsically change the way voting changes in the in Pennsylvania, and rather send him a bill that relates to the down ballot, you know, the straight party voting thing.
Right.
They put
right.
all this together, and because they want something to get through that they want, and guess what? It doesn't work. So then nobody wins. All that time and debate and conversation wasted. And they knew this was going to happen.
If I were the county commissioners, I just wouldn't take action. What's he going to do? Send the National Guard to Snyder County? I mean, come on.
Well, nothing, because he hasn't issued the final order banning those machines. So he isn't going to do anything he can.
So nothing's going to happen. Isn't that strange out of Harrisburg? Nothing.
Well, I've told you before, I'm always happy when they're doing nothing.
Well,
in fact,
good point.
Now that they're home right now, we can take a deep sigh.
Well, you're
aren't we seeing the governor acting with this? I mean, how can he just write these orders? What became of the lawmaking process? What became of... I don't understand how he can just order us to spend, give or take change, $100 million and force every county to make this change unilaterally. That's just ridiculous that any governor has the power to do that. It's absurd to me.
I guess he's given some direction as to help make sure that elections happen at all, and wearing that hat, saying that there must be a paper trail type machine. Even if you just bought a conventional one that's 100% secure, but doesn't have a paper trail like Northumberland County or Snyder County.
No, Snyder County does have a paper trail.
Oh, you have your punch cards left over. That's
right.
Okay, so yeah, Northumberland County would need to upgrade, which we just did. I know Vinnie Clousey had voted for that, so that gives you some sort of an idea of the era. And the machines are quite simple to use in Northumberland. It's a shame to, that's where I vote in Northumberland. It's a shame to get rid of them so early.
Well, we fill in the little bubbles. You know, like when we went to school.
So you can recount those. Okay, well, that's a fabulous system.
All right. Yeah, and it goes through a counting thing, and if there's a problem, it goes to the right or the left. I forget which inside the machine, and then the people working the polls have to review it later to see what's going on or if you had a write-in or something. I mean, I just find this patently absurd. If there was a place where there was a problem, then they should certainly discuss with them resolving those problems. But to order everyone to change what they're doing is ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. It's a terrible waste of money. Once again, you know, without any hesitation, it's a terrible waste of money. And like I said, if I were the county commissioners, I wouldn't do anything, and they'd have my backing.
Well, they probably won't.
You know? I hope not, because sometimes just because you're elected the governor, the president, the head of your groups that you belong to, Joe, that doesn't make you God. You don't get to decide things unilaterally. And that's the genius of our republic, whether people feel frustrated about it or not, that we don't have kings or queens here. We don't have unilateral power. Thank goodness.
All right. Thank you so much. We have to take the next caller in a moment.
Okay, bye.
Thank you so much. All right. 1-800-795-9565. We do have one caller standing by, but we'll take more comers. We are talking about Senator Gordner, David Rowe, all things Harrisburg, our bad body politic that is Harrisburg, governor's recent veto of several pieces of common sense legislation that would make us smarter. Now, what's your view on this? 1-800-795-9565. Welcome back. WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. That was a test of the emergency alert system. This is WKOK Sunday. We have one caller standing by, one text and one email. We'll go to the caller, but you can join the list of individuals waiting in queue there. 1-800-795-9565. Mike, thanks for calling in. You're on the mark.
Yeah, I listened to Senator Gordner speak. And I have to admit, myself personally, I was greatly disturbed by what he described that took place in the Senate. especially with the behavior of the Democrats and the lieutenant governor. And as people, I'm not a politician, and I'm not an expert on politics, but I'm talking to a couple of guys that have a lot of history in particular subjects, and I just would like to get an understanding of how you feel about that situation and what happened and what you think it means.
You mean about the lieutenant governor?
And the Democrats walking out.
Right.
And all that.
Business. Well, like I said, my liberal friends posted the video of Senator Cormann yelling and screaming, trying to get attention like he had done something horrible. But the simple fact is the Senate does have rules, and even the lieutenant governor admitted he didn't follow them. And I agree with Senator Gordner. It looks like a setup. They wanted to let that female senator have her say or read that letter from one of her constituents about cutting out the program. And he was bound and determined to let her get that done no matter what. And it was wrong. I mean, I'm sorry. You follow the rules of the organization. They're there for a purpose.
Exactly. And to me, this goes back. What I immediately thought of was after Barack Obama won, and he came out with the saying, elections have consequences, and I won. And to me, that has been a turning point. And I describe Obama and the Democrats as the left, okay? That's how I describe it. I'm called the right. I think I have the right to call them the left. And I think when he made that statement, we reached a turning point. And I'm not saying it was because of him. It could have just been the way things were happening in our culture and our society. But we have got a militant Democrat Party right now. And, you know, we hear so much from Washington. What's the biggest threat to our democracy? What's the biggest threat? Well, I think the biggest threat to our culture and our democracy is the incestuous relationship between the media, which John Gordner correctly described as fake news, the media, our educational system, and the Democrat Party. And now we're seeing it with the judicial systems that are shooting down everything that Donald Trump ran on and is trying to implement. Now, granted, he's lost some things in his own Congress when he had control of that. But I really believe, I don't know how to say this. I'm not saying we're getting into the point where we're going to have a shooting war. But when we have American citizens overseas proudly singing, you know, F Trump, and it's broadcast on our TV back home, and that's praise, when that behavior is praised, and what we have going on in, you know, our Senate floor in Harrisburg, and what we saw up in Wisconsin when they had their problems in their house, I really think that we're in a critical phase. This thing could go either way, and I'm actually praying that we do not have the civil unrest that I think is very possible because of the divisiveness that exists in our country. And I think that the people that in the audience there in England that were singing F Trump, I think they are the pawns, and in some respects I'm the pawns because I'm a conservative and my side's, you know, possibly using me. But I think if we don't get this thing together, I think we're headed into a big mess. It's not going to be pretty.
All right, we got you, Mike.
Good point.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate the call. Harry, next caller. Go right ahead. You're on the mark.
Hey, good morning, guys. I was away last week, so I didn't see a lot of local stuff here. But when I did get back, I saw the thing about the voting machines. And I find it somewhat ironic that, you know, it amazes me that we make every decision, and by we, I mean our somewhat less than esteemed legislature makes every decision based on political reasons. I mean, you know, you look back a few months ago and it was the Republicans were strictly about trying to increase votes for their for them by making sure everything was gerrymandering to the districts. And now this would create more votes for the Democrats by not doing it. And, you know, and the fact of the matter is, I don't know what the issue is with machines, to be honest, because, Mark, like you, I vote in an area where we, here in Sunbury, where we have no problems with them. But if there are issues, we ask ourselves to make sure everybody's able to vote as easy, as accurately as possible.
Harry, one aspect of this is that there's no paper trail. That's what Northumberland County lacks.
Right. No, I understand.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is, I mean, I guess I understand now. I mean, but, you know, and that's what I was looking at. It does seem You know, we're fortunate we vote in areas where there is no issue with that, you know. So where the machines are fine, I should say. But it does seem like everybody, I mean, you know, to come out that everybody's got an ulterior motive, well, that's not news. That's man, you know.
That's
not man bites dog. You know, everybody's got
an fake news. Not news.
You know what I mean? So in that respect, you know, if there's a valid reason to not do this, then I think the governor owes that explanation to us. But the fact of the matter is, I think it was Cindy who had said about not following procedure. He did follow procedure. It's up to him to either sign the law or veto the law, whether we agree with it or not. The procedure was followed.
Gotcha. All right. Thank you so much, Harry. Really appreciate your call. Thanks for weighing in on these observations.
But the result was that the governor no longer funded something he said was important to him to fund.
Well, yeah, that was part of it. But, yeah, that's gone. The idea of a minimum wage fell by the wayside. The idea of helping counties fund their election machines, that's gone. You know, now the legislators are enjoying their summer vacation, and the governor can take one, too, if he so desires. Take his Jeep and take a couple of days off. But, yeah, and we have nothing to show for it. And we have a budget that nobody's happy with, although as the
governor... Well, then that's a good compromise, isn't
right,
it?
Right. I was just going to say, as Senator Gordner pointed out, says that's the way leadership looks when you're balancing available revenue with many, many interests. So, all right, we'll take more comers. It's our first live day back after a week of Best of broadcasts. We had a couple of people call the newsroom last week and ask what day was such and such a conversation. Whether it's me doing the show or whether it's Rob doing the archiving, we do put a few tags there. So if you search On the Mark reparations, you can go right back to a particular one. That seemed to be the most one that people were still yelling at the radio. And Joe's softening up on that idea, so we'll talk about that.
No, I'm not.
All right, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We will be right back.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. We see one thing from CBS pop up. There'll be a update, Jeffrey Epstein update on CBS News coming up. Some more of the details about the criminal cases. They all stem back from 2004, 2005 seems to be the big year. And so this is more of what Epstein was charged with in the past. 1-800-795-9565, ultra speedy dialers only. Lance, you are on the mark.
Okay, I'd like to just congratulate you on the superlative job you did in your programming last week.
Oh, the best of you. Heard yourself a couple times?
Yeah, I really did feel.
Well, thank you. Well, they're based on calls. If we get a lot of calls, that can be a best of. Plus, the interviews resurface. You know, we had David Rowe and Dr. K and some other, and Fred Keller two times. Once when he accepted the nomination, and then once when he was sworn in.
Really good. Why? Anyway, the voting machines, we really do need a paper trail of it here in Northumberland County, and it's going to be expensive. I guess we just got to bite the bullet and do it. I think that's the way I feel about it. Of old Biden, you know, being the running mate for Obama, why, I believe that old Barack picked him for the same reason that JFK picked LBJ. He needed some word healer to that would appeal to the bumpkins. I really think that's the reason why he did it.
I think you're a little off on that. LBJ was picked because he thought he could deliver Texas, which he did. I don't think President Obama was worried about Biden delivering Delaware.
Or Pennsylvania.
Well, no, but he was delivering Pennsylvania, you know, the Scranton, even though he lived there for, what, about 6 months or so?
As a child? Well, no, I thought it was...
I don't consider Biden a Pennsylvanian. I'm sorry. He's from Delaware.
No, but see, he came off as that. That's what he projected.
Yeah, he talks about his Scranton roots all the time.
And projecting, perception being reality. You know, that's the way it is. Also, that minimum wage, that will just mess up the people it was designed to help, because what we have is, they always talk about the labor participation rate. The folks that normally wouldn't be looking for a job or anything, when it goes up, they think, hey, man, I can go and do this in my spare time. And when it was, you know, $5 or $7, it wasn't worth it, but you up the ante, and then you're going to get older folks, more qualified people. I worked at the car wash. I might have said this many times there in Shamokin Dam, and I saw that happen over a period of 10 years in the 60s, where they didn't hire the kids anymore. They were older folks. And so it was designed to help people, but actually it hurt them in the long run, really.
Hurt young people, you say?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you don't see it. Well, and plus, who's paying the minimum wage now? It's funny we're having this conversation. Now you can drive down the strip and start working at the restaurant of your choice for $10 an hour.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. It's the supply and demand. We should let free enterprise take care of it.
I don't know. Does anybody pay minimum wage? Might be a good question. Even Walmart says they're $8 an hour now to start, you know, for the most basic job.
Well, that's the marketplace determining the rate, and that's the way it should go.
Without mandates of that type. Okay.
Well, here's something, too, about schools, insofar as how many kids are going to be needed in the future. Line Mountain just graduated their senior class. There were 54 kids. 54. There are some places out there in those little schools where they have, like, 5 and 7. Now, this is what I've heard. I'd have to really, really investigate it. But from the people it came from, I would believe that it was true. But yet, we were spending, you know, it's $18,000 a kid.
Right. We got to consolidate some of these districts. We have a cockamamie plan here to merge school districts around here, but it'll never fly. But like you have Benton School District, you know, 30 some graduates. So, you know, what's can't they join up with Sullivan County? Or let's see, if you're in the Benton School District, I guess next would be Bloomsburg School District would be next, or Central Columbia would. Columbia.
Yeah, we would be there.
Yeah, Berwick would be right there.
And then we can throw in, too, about the opiates being sued. When are they going to get around to suing the alcohol folks? They kill twice as many people as what the opiates do.
They seem to be able to sustain themselves in court, though, against that kind of thing. All right, thank you, Lance. Great to hear from you again. Thank you for the kind words and the great call. We appreciate that. Thank you, Joe. We'll see you in the morning.
I'll be here.
We have a text and 2 emails, so we'll read those on the radio tomorrow. And thank you, Rob, being a fabulous producer, whether we're here or not. This is News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.